Your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Timothy, chapter 1. In your Schofield Bible, page 1274. Starting with the 12th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 17. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Page 1274 in your Schofield Bible. Let us stand, please, for the reading of the precious Word of God. The text verse, by the way, for this morning's message is the 15th verse. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And
let me read for you again my text verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And here's my text, of whom I am chief. I want to talk this morning on the subject, the chief of sinners. You'll be shocked as what this really means. Paul's not saying here, I'm the worst sinner in the world. I've heard that preached over and over and over again. Paul said Christ Jesus came to save sinners. I'm the worst of all. Now the truth is, Paul was not the worst of all. He knew he wasn't the worst of all. But I want to talk to you this morning on the chief of sinners. I heard somebody say in my presence the other day, I've lost all faith in Christians. I'd like to ask them and you, whoever asked you to put your faith in Christians. I've been preaching here over 37 years. I've never mentioned one time you putting your faith in Christians. I've been preaching 50 years. I've never asked anybody to put their faith in Christians. Tell me whoever asked you to put your faith in Christians in the first place. Our message is put your faith in Christ. Now, we misunderstand the entire Christian life. I'm going to put it in perspective, if I can ever get my collar unbuttoned. But I'm going to put it in perspective this morning. Most people haven't got the foggiest idea what Christianity is really all about. I want you to follow me carefully as I speak to you. We'll not turn to these verses, but I'll simply tell you about them. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 21, the Bible says Herod made a supper for his captains, lords, and chiefs. Now, what it meant was, he made a supper for his leaders. The word chief meaning a leader. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 50, it talks about the chief men of the city. Talking about the mayor. Talking about the city councilman. It's talking about the leaders, those who guide the affairs of the city. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 7, it mentions the chief men on the island of Melita. Now, the chief men, simply men, okay, like you'd say the Indian chief. He's the chief of this tribe. Doesn't mean he's more Indian than anybody else. It means he's the head or the leader of this tribe. And then it talks about the chief priest. Doesn't mean he's more priest than anybody else. He's just the leader of the priest, if you please. Or it's like the capital city. Or it's like the high, Webster calls it the highest in rank. And you can check this word in the Greek if you want to, and you'll find it has nothing to do with one that is more of something than anybody else, but he is one of the people of whom he is over. So, Paul is saying here that he is the leader of sinners. That's what he's saying. He is a sinner himself, not the worst sinner, but he is a sinner himself and the leader of sinners. Or he could say, Paul could be saying, he's the pastor of sinners. I know how he feels. I pastor the worst sinners in the whole world. But he's saying, I am the chief of sinners. I am the leader of sinners. I am the pastor of sinners, if you please. Now, here is where the Christian religion is so misunderstood. We do not realize what Christianity, and especially what the church, is all about. For example, I said a while ago, I've lost faith, somebody says, in Christians. I hear it over and over again. I've heard folks say, I'm not going to come back to that church anymore. I've lost faith in those people. Well, you better not put your faith in those people. You better put your faith in the Savior of those people, you see. But I've lost faith in humanity. Well, you don't. I never have had any. I've just lost faith in mankind. Don't put your faith in mankind. Put your faith in the Creator of mankind. So, Paul is saying, I was chosen as a sinner to be a leader or a chief of sinners. No real Christian claims it to be any less sinner than those who are not Christians. Let me say it again. No real Christian claims to be any less sinner than those who are not Christians. In a sense, that makes all of us hypocrites. Somebody said one time, hey, you got a bunch of hypocrites down at First Baptist. I said, yes, sir, every stinking one of them. And I said, the biggest hypocrite in the church is the one behind the pulpit. Because I can't practice what I preach. And you can't practice what I preach. I preach a perfect Bible. I can't be perfect. I preach a perfect Savior. I can't be perfect. I don't intend to practice what I preach. God didn't tell me to preach what I live. God told me to preach what He wrote. Yes, now, I try to practice what I preach, and that basically is the difference in a child of God, one that's not. I try to do right. The unsaved man could care less. So, in a sense, we're all hypocrites, and I am the chief of the hypocrites. Now, follow me carefully. Just what is the difference? Just what is Christianity all about? Now, if you listen to this first point, it'll revolutionize your life if you'll hear it and follow it. When a person gets saved, he doesn't quit sinning. He just has the punishment for that sin transferred from eternity to earth. Do you understand? If I do wrong, God chastises me. But He chastises me in order to make me live better and do better and be happier. But all the punishment that I get for my sins will be here on the earth. My eternal punishment was paid for on Calvary by Jesus Christ. Consequently, the person gets saved. Hey, he doesn't stop sinning. You truck drivers get saved this morning. You may drive 70 miles an hour in a 65-mile zone. Of course, you've never done that before. But if you did yesterday, you may do it tomorrow. And if a guy gets in front of you, an old man like me gets in front of you driving 55 miles an hour on the toll road, you'll cuss him maybe just like you did yesterday when you cussed me yesterday. I'm saying, now you shouldn't do that, but you shouldn't have yesterday either. I'm trying to say, I mean, even you guys cuss like sinners. But the honest, simple truth is, when you get saved, it doesn't stop you from being a sinner. The greatest thing that happens is it transfers your punishment from eternity to earth so that God can have your eternity free of sin and you can praise Him forever. But that's the first thing that happens. Now, let's go into the main part of the message. The person gets saved, he has the same nature that he had before. Now, follow me carefully. When you get saved, listen to me now. When you got saved, you did not become a new person. When I got saved, I did not become a new person. When we get saved, we have the same stinking old rotten nature you always had. Same temptations that you had before you got saved. You got the same desires, sinful desires that you had before you got saved. You have the same weaknesses that you had before you got saved. And the same lusts that you had before you got saved. Now, when you get saved, if you drank liquor before you got saved, that's not going to take away your desire for liquor, because you got the same body that you had. If you were in a whoremonger before you got saved, that's not going to take away your desire for illicit sex, because when you got saved, you kept the same old body that you had before. And the same old rotten, stinking, sorry, putrid nature that you had before, you still have after you get saved. That's why some of you people, you got saved and you thought you'd never sin again. And all of a sudden, and you tried, and for a while you didn't. And all of a sudden you hit your finger with a hammer and you said, dirty bric-a-brac, rotcha-blotcha, pack-a-loma. And you said some things, I never thought I'd say that again. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. May I tell you why you did it? Because you have the same old rotten nature that you had before you got saved. So I want to say this. I'm trying to put the Christian life in perspective this morning. When you got saved, I'm trying to show you why you shouldn't put your confidence in Christians. You shouldn't put your faith in Christians. Put your faith in Jesus and be in fellowship with God's people and love God's people. But put your faith in Him who will never disappoint you and never stumble and never fall and never do evil and never sin and never break your heart. I'm saying put your faith in Christ. I said, number one, if you get saved this morning, you will not be a new creature. Now, don't hang me on the altar of your Pharisaism for yet. Number two, a new nature was added when you got saved. You did not become a new person. A new person was added when you got saved. Just exactly like getting married. You were single, you got married. Somebody else moved in to live with you. And by the way, when that somebody else moved in with you, they tried to work on you to change your lifestyle. You got married. Came on honeymoon. You said, boy, I've got this precious little darling in here. And you got inside the room, woke up the next morning, and she looked at you. And with a sweet, tender voice, she said, get your pants off the bedpost. What happened? Somebody new had moved in. Now, it didn't mean that you weren't going to put your pants on the bedpost anymore. It meant you weren't going to enjoy putting your pants on the bedpost anymore. So that's what happened. You got saved. You may go ahead and drink your liquor. I don't know why I'm pointing at the truck drivers over here, but you may go ahead and drink your liquor after you get saved, but you won't enjoy liquor after you get saved. You may go to the same nightclub that you went to before you got saved, or the same tavern, or the same so-called gentleman's club, but you won't enjoy it anymore, just like you don't enjoy putting your pants on the bedpost anymore. Now this new person came in. So I'm trying to say, folks, we still have the old person. And that's why we ought to be patient with each other. We still have the old nature. All right, I said, number one, I said, we have the same old nature. You did not become a new person when you got saved. I said, number two, a new nature has been added. Not to replace the old, but to combat the old. So, only difference in the saved man and the unsaved man, they both want to do the same thing, but the new man has got a new nature inside him that's nagging at him when the old nature has his way. And a battle has begun between the old nature and the new nature. I'm trying to say this morning, we're going to disappoint you. I'm going to disappoint you. I got the old nature here. I was talking on the telephone the other day trying to get through to a very important man. And he's a good man. He told me to call him back. And I called him, and I said, I want to talk to him. I'll say his name is John Doe. I want to talk to John Doe. He's one of the most famous men I know. John Doe is known by everybody. And I said, do you want to talk to John Doe? And this little secretary, our switchboard operator, said, I'm sorry, but he's in a meeting. I said, look, he told me to call him back. She said, sir, I can't interrupt him. He's in a meeting. I said, look, I'm one of his best friends. He told me to call him back. She said, I can't interrupt the meeting. I said, interrupt the stupid meeting. Just tell him who's calling, and he will take my call. She said, call him at home tonight. I said, don't know his home number. She said, he'll call you at home tonight. I said, I'm in Reno, Nevada. I can't be at home tonight. I'll try, but I can't know that I can make it. And she said, you can't talk to him. I said, ma'am, he told me to call. I'm returning a call. And she said, "Well, I can't help it. I'm just a switchboard operator." And I said, and before I knew it, that old nature came up. And I said, "If you were my switchboard operator, I'd fire you before dark." I don't know what she said, because she hung up before she said it. You say, "Brother Hiles, did you lose your cool?" No, I didn't lose it. I had it all the time. I hung up. You said, "Were you sorry you did it?" Not right away. In fact, it's been 3 weeks and I'm still glad. But there's been somebody talking to me, trying to convince me I did wrong. I'm not convinced yet. My old nature's winning that war. But that's good. What I'm saying is that when you, the whole Christian life, we got the idea that only people supposed to come to church is a bunch of perfect relics come down here and rejoice in our perfection every Sunday. If you go out and lose your temper, do something you shouldn't do, or say something you shouldn't say, or go somewhere you shouldn't go, you're a bunch of hypocrites. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a person in this world, born as a dirty sinner in this room, not a dirty sinner. A person deserves to go to hell, and you have the same old rotten nature you always had. The only difference is there's somebody in there that says you shouldn't have done that. Now follow me. The difference is there is a battle going on in us. Now listen to it carefully. God has given us something to help us in that battle. Okay? Here's one nature over here. Same one you always had. You get saved. A new nature comes over here, but that guy is still over there. Now, one of these guys, every day, one of these guys is going to get the victory. Some days the old man's going to get the victory. You're going to say things you shouldn't say. Someday the new man's going to get the victory. You'll say only things you should say. Someday the old man's going to get the victory. You'll go places you shouldn't go. Some days the new man's going to get the victory. You won't go places you shouldn't go, but you'll go places you should go. And there's a constant battle. But God has given us something that is the greatest help we can have, so the new nature will conquer over the old. And that's called the New Testament church. What's the purpose of... Why are we here this morning? Why are we here? We're here because there's a battle raging in everybody's life in this room. And you came this morning because you wanted me to skin you and tell you to behave yourself. My job is to come up here every Sunday morning and Sunday night and say, "Look, obey this fella. Don't obey that fella. Obey this fella. Don't say what you shouldn't say. Say what you should say. Don't listen to rock music. Listen to decent music. Don't go to the movie houses. Go to church." And the purpose of this church, ladies and gentlemen, is not for us to come here and have some kind of a worship of God where a bunch of perfect people come rejoice in our perfection. The purpose of this church is a bunch of dirty, stinking, rotten sinners who have a flesh that wants to live like a devil. We come here for somebody to say, "Straighten up and live right." That's what it's all about. So, it's a place to come for treatment. That's what the church is. "Oh, I've lost my faith in churches." Well, don't put your faith in churches. Put your faith in the one that built the church and founded the church. "Well, I've lost my faith in humanity." Well, don't put your faith in humanity. Put your faith in God Almighty and the Son of God. I'm saying nobody has ever told you that the church was composed of good people. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The poison of asp is under their lips. And that defines the flesh of the child of God as much as it defines the flesh of the one that's not a Christian. So, that's what the church is for. And that's why you ought to be back tonight. And that's why you ought to come Wednesday night. And that's why you shouldn't be. And I'm not talking about just go to church somewhere. I'm talking about go to First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'm saying, you ought to go to church, and somebody ought to stand up and say, "You be sure this week, don't you let this fella reign. Let the new nature reign. Don't give place, vent to this old fella. You give vent to the new fella. Don't you live to this old nature that's always here. You live to the new nature." And that's what the church is, and that's why you ought to be in church. Did you ever hear anybody say, "I've lost my faith in hospitals"?
Just a bunch of sick folks there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in case you'd like to know, that's what the stinking hospital is for. In case you'd like to know, the church is nothing more than a spiritual hospital. The hospital, St. Margaret's Hospital up here this morning, is trying to get those people to have victory over the germs and diseases they have and get them back to living a normal life. And the purpose of this church is to feed you and scold you and rebuke you and encourage you and lift you and try to give you victory over this old man and victory to the new nature. That's what it's all about. So it's a place to come for treatment. It's a place to be reminded not to sin. It's a place to be reprimanded for sin. Now hear me carefully. Occasionally, we're not going to go to church. Or we're going to go to church and not listen. Or we're going to listen and not obey what's taught from the pulpit. And what's going to happen is, we're going to lose a battle. Occasionally, we're going to be careless about going to church or listening, and that's why you want to set up straight and listen to every word that's said here. This man here is placed here for one reason, to take that book right there and give you encouragement to keep you from living over here according to the old flesh, the rotten, the cesspool of the flesh, and to encourage you to live for God and live for the new nature and live for the new man. And that's why you ought to come to church and stand up straight and listen. I'll guarantee you, the young people this morning who are sitting back in the corners not listening are the ones also that are living over here on this side. And I'll guarantee you that the people in this room this morning that are criticizing what I'm saying are the people living right over here. I'll tell you, you need to come to church, sit up straight, listen to every song, hear every word of the sermon, because God has given you the church as a spiritual hospital to keep you living on this side and not be a slave over there to the wicked, sorry old nature that every one of us have. Apostle Paul said, there's therefore now no condemnation, but he also said, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That means every temptation that your flesh has, my flesh has. You've heard it again and again. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., did you ever want to divorce your wife? Said, no, sir, I wanted to choke her to death, but never wanted to divorce her. You say, if you ever wanted to choke your wife to death, that's none of your business. But I'll give you a scripture. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That means that Billy Sunday had a same temptations you have. That means that Dwight L. Moody had the same temptations you have. That means that Savonarola had the same temptations you have. That means that Charles Haddon Spurgeon had the same temptations you have. That means that Lee Robertson has the same temptations you have. That means that Jack Hiles has the same temptations you have. Well then, Brother House, why is it that some folks get the victory? I'll tell you why. We come to church and listen to what the man of God says and pay attention in church, because the church is the hospital. Some people are getting so sick, they've got to go to the hospital and they've got to be cared for and help to go back out to their jobs. And that's what this is. You've come to a hospital this morning to get skinned and scathed and scalded and encouraged and lifted and strengthened to go back out tomorrow where you work and live the Christian life and give the victory to this guy and not that sorry devil you had all along. So very careful, listen to me. Here's the battle. The new nature and the old nature. Watch me carefully. I won't tell you how it happened, when you got saved, how it was. It's Monday. The new nature had the victory. Tuesday, you stumbled. Wednesday, you got back up. Thursday, the old nature. Friday, but by the way, you're just as saved over there as you are over here. And the sins you get over there are going to be punished down here on earth and not up in glory. So, Saturday, back over here. Sunday, back over here. A year later,
Monday. Over here. Tuesday. Over here. Wednesday. Over here. Thursday. Over here. Friday. Over here. Saturday. Saturday's always a bad day. Over here. And Sunday. So now you got five good days and two bad days. You know why? Because you've been coming to church. You've been listening to what the preacher says. He says, go home and read your Bible. You go home and read your Bible. He said, go home and pray. You go home and pray. He said, ask the Holy Spirit to give you direction. You ask the Holy Spirit to give you... But you won't pray as much unless somebody reminds you once a week to pray. And you won't live in that book as much unless somebody reminds you once a week live in that book. And you won't yield yourself to the Holy Spirit as much unless somebody once a week reminds you to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. 2 years passed. Monday, we're over here. Tuesday, we're over here. Wednesday, we're over here. Uh-oh, Thursday, we're over here. Friday, we're over here. Saturday, we're over here. Sunday, we're over here. 10 years passed. January 1st, you're over here. January 2nd, over here. January 3rd, over here. January 4th, over here. January 5th, over here. January 6th, over here. Uh-oh, January 7th, you're over here. 20 years passed. This is the way God wants it. January 1st through 15th, you're over here. And January 16th, you find yourself over here. You see what you're doing? The new nature is winning the battle. Why? Because you came to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and did what the preacher preached all week long.
I don't need to go to a church. I can worship God out in the creek, fishing, looking at the beauty of nature as much as I can in church.
You may worship God, but that's not why we're here this morning. Those folks down at St. Margaret's Hospital are not down there to worship the Pope. They're not down there to worship the hospital. And they're not claiming to be righteous, and neither are we claiming to be righteous. They're down there because they're sick. And that's why you're here, because you're sick. Now listen carefully. I've been saved 59 years. 59 years last month. Now, please don't think I'm sanctified. I'm not. But I don't go over here as much as I used to. But now, wait a minute. That little gal heard me talk on the phone the other day. If that man says, has Reverend Hiles called? That's a reverend. But if that's what Christianity is about, I don't want anything to do with it. I've lost my faith in reverends. I've lost my faith in preachers. Good night, my wife lost her faith in me years ago. I never had any in her. Or mine either. But anyway, listen carefully. She shouldn't be surprised. Every once in a while I lose a battle. But praise God, I don't lose the war. And you know, the next week I was with a fellow preaching. Had somebody else on the program. If that stinker didn't preach on preachers losing their temper, I'm not standing here. Man, I was tempted to get up and walk out. Tell you preachers out there, in the last 7 days you've lost it. How'd he know? I must be on a party line. I'll tell you one thing, brother. When that sermon ended, Dr. Jack Hiles was on his knees at the altar. I want to get back over here. And if I ever see that little switchboard operator, I'm going to think about apologizing to her. If the Lord leads me. So, you come over here, don't get down on yourself. Don't get down, and don't give up. That's what the Bible means when it says, my little children, these things, and that's all of us, we're all little children. You may be a multimillionaire, but as far as God's concerned, you're his little child. You may be the owner of a corporation, but as far as God's concerned, you're a little child, my little children. 1 John 2:1, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So what's the purpose of the church? To be used of the Heavenly Father to pick people up that have gone over here. Now listen carefully. This is the message. So when one of us is found over here, the rest of us should not condemn him. Because we just got back from over here, or soon are going to visit him over here. And that means if you're not a Christian this morning, don't look at us. Because one of these days you're going to see us on the worst day, and we're going to be over here on this side. Don't put your faith in us. Put your faith in the one who lived and died for us and rose again after 3 days and three nights. We're just like you are. The difference in this, the people in this room this morning, is not whether or not you are ever over here and live according to the stinking, sinful, rotten, putrid flesh. The difference in us is how often we get over here. And no matter how often somebody gets over here, you were there one time yourself. Now, when I lose a battle and get over here, thank God, that doesn't mean I've lost the war. I can still win the war, and so can you. If you've got something in your icebox or refrigerator you thought would never be there again, go home and get it out. Get back over there and don't get down on yourself. You said a word to this week you thought you'd never say again, and you ended up over here letting the flesh rule and reign. Get on your knees, ask God to forgive you, get back over here, and tomorrow try not to say that word. That's what it's all about. That's what Christianity is. That's what the church is. Old story. My college president, Dr. H.D. Bruce, was eating in a restaurant one day. A little waitress walked up and she served him, and after they'd eaten their meal, Dr. Bruce and several preachers, Dr. Bruce said to the waitress when she came back to give the bill, to ticket, he said to the waitress, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "What's that mean?" Said, "Do you know Christ? Are you a Christian?" She said, "No, and I don't want to be. I've watched the way Christians live in this when they come in this restaurant." Now, folks, I don't care. If all of us go out and eat, some of us are going to lose the battle that day. And that little lady is going to die and go to hell because she thinks that Christians are supposed to be perfect. And Dr. Bruce said, "Well, she said, the way Christians behave when they come in this restaurant." And Dr. Bruce looked at her and said, "But young lady, can you find anything wrong with Jesus?" And she began to cry. And Dr. Bruce said, "Can you find anything wrong with Jesus?" And she said, "No, but if your people would live more like him, more of us would want to be like you people." And Dr. Bruce said, "Ma'am, I'm not trying to get you to be like us. I'm not asking you to trust us. I'm asking you to trust Jesus, since you can't find anything wrong with him." And there at the table, she put down a little pad where she writes the bill and put down her pen. And she trusted Christ as her Savior. Nobody's asking you this morning to trust us. We're simply sick folks. We're not asking you to trust the patients. We're asking you to trust the great physician. We're not asking you to trust the hospital. We're asking you to trust the doctor. The church is the hospital. And the reason you're here, whether you if you came for the right purpose, is not so we can all look up and say, "Worship, worship, 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 worship." That's not it at all. We're here because somebody needs to stand up here three times a week and try to straighten you out and try to exhort you and help you. But I want to say it again. No one of us, including this preacher, is going to stay over here. Not a one of us. I promise you that most of us, if not all of us, have been over there sometime this week. So, If I catch you over there, I'm not going to stomp you or criticize you or look down on you. I'm going to love you. And next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach the devil out of you. You don't have that privilege, do you? So I'll not be surprised if I see you over here. Somebody said the other day, I heard one of your members cuss like a sailor. Oh, that's awful cussing. Like a sailor. Not as bad as a truck driver, but it's awful. What? Is that Christianity? I said, yeah. That's Christianity.
Cussing?
Yeah. Every Christian I know does something, either cusses or wishes he could. Shoot. That preacher friend of mine I tell you about down in East Texas years ago got to preaching against the devil and preaching on the cross, and he thought the devil had Jesus on the cross. He started cussing the devil right there in the pulpit, called him every kind of dirty, rotten, filthy name. A famous evangelist, I won't call his name, was preaching one night as an older man. He's preaching one night and lost his coherence, and he's preaching on the office of deacon. And he took about 15 minutes to cuss every deacon he'd ever met. If I called his name, everybody here would know him. Famous evangelist. They had to go pull him out of the pulpit and call him off, take him to the hospital. You say, you ever done that? No, but I wanted to. And so, let's get Christianity in perspective here. Let's get it in perspective. Now, it may be, follow me carefully, it may be when somebody gets over here, on that day they get over here, it may be they'll just lose their temper talking on the telephone. Now, wait a minute, carefully. Don't quit loving him. Don't lose confidence in him. Wait a minute now. On the other hand, it may be when somebody gets over here, that day he's over here, he may do something 1,000 times worse. He may do something that'll cost him his right to hold an office in the church. But all he's done is lost a battle. So let's encourage him. Let's pray for him. Let's love him. I know people here that won't talk to folks here because they're over here too much. Well, good night, honey child. I hadn't said that in years. Good night, lemon puss. It's the guy that's the worst that needs you the most. It's the one that's over here that needs you to encourage him and be friendliest to him. And that's what Christianity is all about. But we don't understand it. The average person, we don't understand it. We've never yet gotten in focus what Christianity is, or what the church is all about. This morning, I remind you again, the most important thing about getting saved is the transferring of your punishment for sin from eternity to earth, from the eternal to the temporal. This morning, it can happen to you. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, you're not saved, you don't know you go to heaven if you died, you walk down this aisle, realize you're a sinner, realize that sinners are going to hell, realize that Jesus Christ has suffered your hell on the cross for you, and rely upon him to take you to heaven. And that moment, you won't quit sinning, but the punishment for your sins will be on Jesus and not on your own self. Now, God will chasten you down here, but he won't give you one single punishment in eternity for your sin. That can happen to you this morning. And to the rest of us, let's not lose confidence in Christianity. Hear me carefully, I'll close. But let's not use confidence in Christianity. You said a while ago you never had any confidence in Christianity. Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said never had any confidence in Christians. Because Christianity is not Christians. Christianity is Christ. So I'm not losing my confidence in Christianity because Christianity is Jesus Christ himself. Walk down the aisle, put your faith in him. Those of you who sit sitting in the seat of the scornful, sitting with the phylacteries of the Pharisees wrapped around your shoulders this morning, you stop and realize that whatever he's done, whatever she's done, was simply the thing that you do on occasion yourself. You yield to the lust of the flesh and lose the battle, but not the war. And you've been there too. It just may have been that while you were over here, your temptation was not as great as his. So you might be wise not to sit in the seat of the scornful. That's what Christianity is all about. That's why you'll come back tonight and Wednesday night and next Sunday morning.
Because the way that you get the battle, victory in the battle over the old nature is coming to the institution that God has founded to encourage you, strengthen you, scold you, and remind you to live with the Spirit and not with the flesh. Hope somehow you understand Christianity better. Hope you understand what it's really all about. That's what it is. Let's bow our heads, please. No one is leaving.
Please open your